الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and discusses it in Al-Quran to allow the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look back and take lessons and morals and take honor and glory from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To look to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to see the example that needs to be followed. To look towards the obstacles placed in front of him and to overcome them like how he did sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After years of persecution and oppression in Mecca, during the last few moments before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make hijrah, with the scholars of Islam disagreeing upon the exact date. Some of them say it took place in this month, the last few days of the month of Rajab. While some of them say, look, it took place in the Rabiul Awwal. Some of them said it took place 13 months before Hijrah. Some of them said 2 years. Some of them said a few months. But what seems to be correct in Allah Jalla wa'ala knows best is that it took place in the month of Rajab after the death of Abu Talib and Khadija radiyallahu anha and after he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was driven out of Ta'if. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now felt the persecution of a physical nature, because his uncle Abu Talib was no longer able to be the shield for him that he used to be. So the taunts now changed and transformed into physical harm upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was now grasped and strangled, when his face was pushed down on the sand, when a carcass was thrown over his body as he made sajda, where carcasses were placed in his pots of food and water. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now lost his protector in the form of his wife Khadija radiyallahu anha, and he went through a moment of sorrow to the extent the scholars called it not just a moment of sorrow but a year of sorrow and a year of sadness. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then looked towards another locality, another area they could call them to al-Islam, so he went to Ta'if. And he was driven out by the children of Ta'if, stoning him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until his body was covered in blood, until his feet were covered in blood sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he referred to his day when he spoke to Aisha many years later. And he said there was no day that was more harmful or more fearful for him than this day of Ta'if. After all of these trials and tribulations, in this month, the month of Rajab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a blessing. A blessing so great that Allah jalla wa ala refers to it in two different passages in Al-Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to him the angel Jibreel. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed to take Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a journey, a miraculous, noble, virtuous journey. A journey whereby many morals and etiquettes and lessons can be extracted. A journey to raise his morale. A journey to give him hope. A journey not just for him, but for the entire ummah as a whole. Hence Allah Jalla wa ala preserved it. Hence Allah Jalla wa ala discusses it in Al-Quran. And hence Allah Jalla wa ala makes this narration a narration that is preserved in Bukhari and Muslim. The journey of the Isra and the Mi'raj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي, all glory be to the one who took his abd, his servant. He took him physically and he took him spiritually. He took him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. From Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, an area that is blessed around it. لنريه من آياتنا, so he can see, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our noble signs. إنه هو السميع البصير. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sami, is the one who hears everything. Al-Basir, the one who sees everything. Allah Jalla wa'ala uses these two names, Sami' al-Basir, to tell him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then to us as an ummah, that he hears you, he sees you. Just like how he heard, and he saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being physically tortured and oppressed in this manner, and then he gave him granting him an extremely blessed miracle. This miracle is for him and for the entire ummah to share in. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu an, as well as Abu Hurairah, as well as Ibn Abbas, as well as many of the Sahaba, they narrate this entire story. It's found, as I mentioned, in Bukhari and Muslim. Allah preserves it from the very beginning until the end. And we'll narrate it inshallah ta'ala, and only going to other narrations for an extremely important benefit. But we'll stick inshallah ta'ala to the actual story as mentioned in Bukhari Muslim. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu an, he narrates in As-Sahihain, in Bukhari Muslim. He says, and Malik ibn Sa'sah, I heard this story from Malik ibn Sa'sah, who heard it from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that one day he was sitting in Hatim, wa fi riwaya wa fi al-hijr. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the semi-circle space attached next to the Kaaba. Or in another narration, in his home. He was sitting, no doubt, in the area of Mecca. In the sacred area of Mecca. For Allah says, min masjid al-haram ila masjid al-aqsa. So one day he said he was sitting in this area. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw two angels descend. The angel Jibreel, another angel next to him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, describing this story letter by letter, he said, as I sat looking towards the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, سَمِعْتُهُ يَقُولُ, I heard one of them say, Where shall we cut him? To which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked to him, and the angel Jibreel, he said, from here, pointing towards his lower neck until his belly button. So they cut him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, opening his chest. Imagine, oh brothers, oh sisters in Islam, the type of different medicines the patients will need to take from the hospitals today to be cut in this particular manner. But this story is miraculous from the beginning, miraculous in the middle, and miraculous at the end. It's covered, it's enveloped in miracles. The Prophet ﷺ narrates the story looking at the malaika cutting his chest, and he's not feeling any pain. He's looking at them taking out his arteries and taking out his veins, and he's not sighing out of pain. He's not screaming in any form of anguish. He's narrating, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they take out my heart. And one of them comes with a vessel out of gold, and they wash it with zamzam, and then they fill it with iman. They wash it with zamzam, and then they fill it with iman. Some of the scholars of Islam, they say, Allah Jalla wa'ala could have done this without the need of the angels opening his chest. But Allah Jalla wa'ala wanted to, not just for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but for the entire ummah, to give us a sense of hope, to make us understand that Allah Jalla wa'ala is with us, to make us understand that Allah Jalla wa'ala will bless this ummah with miracles. The impossible becomes possible with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they took out my heart and they placed it in a gold vessel. They cleaned it with zamzam water, and they flourished it with iman, and they placed in it iman. He then says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they brought to me an animal that was slightly bigger than a donkey, but smaller than a horse. It was white in color. Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu an, as he's narrating this story to some of his companions, they asked him, O Anas ibn Malik, al-Jarud, he said, O Anas ibn Malik, was it al-Buraq? Was it al-Buraq that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to now? Anas ibn Malik said, yes, it was al-Buraq. A white beast, slightly bigger than a donkey, but smaller than a horse, in a version in a Tirmidhi, as narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu and others, and with an authentic chain. When this animal, this buraq, was presented to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was told by the angel Jibreel to sit. As he tried to sit, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-buraq, it showed some levels of agitation, so it tried to move away from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until the angel Jibreel addressed it and said to it, O Buraq, by Allah, no one more virtuous has ever sat on you before. And no one more virtuous will ever sit on you again. Al-Buraq, he then looked towards Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he placed and lowered himself so that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could sit upon it. As he sat upon it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he returned back to the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw it move so fast that each of his steps was as far as the eye can see. Each of his steps was as far as the eye can see. Traveling with Buraq, traveling with the angel Jibreel, traveling with the other angel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. All glory belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who took his slave from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he connects the sacredness of the two mosques together. Some of the benefits, the ulama of Islam, they mention the benefit of this story, the benefit of these two places, the benefit of these two localities mentioned together. Why did he travel from Mecca to Aqsa? Is to make us known that these two qiblas are the qiblas of Islam. These two areas are the areas of the Muslims. These two places are places that Islam deserves. Because what happens now is another testimony to this. The angel Jibreel in a hadith in Bukhari Muslim, he places al-buraq and he ties it around the pole of Aqsa. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates, I walked into the masjid. I performed my two rak'ah to enter into the masjid. And there I saw Musa alayhi salam praying. And I saw Isa alayhi salam praying. And then I was told to stand in front of all of the prophets and messengers that Allah jalla wa ala had ever sent on earth and lead them all in prayer. So I stood as the imam and I began the salah, and behind me were a nation of prophets and messengers. And once more, this shows us, oh brothers, oh sisters in Islam, that Islam is not a new religion. Rather, it completes everything that came before. If Sulaiman alayhi salam, if Ibrahim alayhi salam, if Musa alayhi salam, if Isa alayhi salam were to be alive today, they'll be following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They'll be following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they will be uttering, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And this significant moment in Al-Aqsa is to show us this, oh brothers, oh sisters in Islam, that Islam is not something new. Rather, it completes what came before. It completes what came before. And as he completed the salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the angel Jibreel then wanted me to hear the salam being given to me by the gatekeeper of the hellfire. The gatekeeper of the hellfire. He looked towards me and said, Salamu alayka, Ya Rasulullah. May peace of Allah Jalla wa Ala be upon you, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this journey from Mecca to Al-Aqsa is referred to Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. And from here we find the raising, the actual Mi'raj from Al-Aqsa to the heavens. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He now was taken by the angel Jibreel, who held his hand, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as mentioned in this hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. And before he took him up to the heavens, the angel Jibreel offered Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam a vessel to drink from. And he offered him a vessel of milk, and he offered him a vessel of wine. And he looked attentively to see which one of these two would Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam take. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he opted for the vessel of milk, to which the angel Jibreel responded by saying, "You have chosen what is natural, what is upon the fitrah, and your ummah will be upon the fitrah." Then he was raised by the angel Jibreel. Holding his hand sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he took him up to the first heaven. As he took him up to the first heaven, they knocked on the door of the first heaven. فَقِيلْ مَنْ هَذَا It was said to him, "Who is this?" The angel Jibreel responded, "It is Jibreel." It was then said, "وَمَنْ مَعَكْ And who is with you?" It was said, "It is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam." They asked him, "Has he been sent as the messenger of Allah jalla wa ala yet? Has he been sent as a prophet yet?" The angel Jibreel responded by saying, "Yes." To which the angels behind the gate of the first heaven said, "Marhaban bihi, فَنِعْمَ الْمَجِيءُ جَاءَ Give him glad tidings. What an honorable guest to come. What an honorable coming this is. And the first gate of Jannah was opened. Upon the first gate of Jannah being opened, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw Adam alayhi salam. He saw Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam looked towards Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him, "Assalamu alaykum ya ibn Salih. Oh, peace be upon you, O son of the righteous, or a righteous child." To which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded. Thereafter, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw Adam alayhi salam look towards his right, and he would smile, or as if though he would laugh. Or he looked extremely happy. And then he would look towards his left, and he'd become extremely sad. In some narrations, he would cry, and he would become afraid. So he asked the angel Jibreel, "What's happening over here? Why is my father Adam looking towards his right and showing joy, and then looking towards his left and showing sadness and sorrow?" To which the angel Jibreel, he responds, and he says, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Adam all of his offspring that will go to paradise on his right." So when he looked towards his right, he saw the offspring, he saw the ummah, he saw the people of this world that will go to paradise. And he laughed and he smiled. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him all of his offspring that will go to the fire and be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his left. So when he looked towards his left, he became afraid and he became sad that these are his children and his grandchildren, and they will be thrown into the hellfire and be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah jalla wa ala save us from them. The angel Jibreel then took Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hand, and he raised him up into the second heaven. They knocked on the door of the second heaven. The malaika behind the door, they asked, "Man hadha?" Who is it? The angel Jibreel, he said, "The angel Jibreel." They asked, "Waman ma'ak?" And who is with you? The angel Jibreel, he said, "Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." They asked, "And has he been sent? Has the message received him? Has he been made the prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" The angel Jibreel responded by saying, "Yes, he's been made the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." To which they respond by saying, "Marhaban bihi, ni'ma al-maji'u ja'a." Give him glad tidings. What an honorable coming. What an honorable guest has come. The doors of Jannah open, and the angel Jibreel takes Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into the second heaven. And this is where he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sees Isa, the son of Maryam, and he sees Yahya, the son of Zakariya. He sees two prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Jews attempted to kill. They killed Yahya ibn Zakariya, and they thought they killed Muhammad, they thought they killed Isa alayhi salam. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They thought they killed him, but they didn't kill him, Isa alayhi salam. They both respond and send him salam. Sending him salam like how Adam sent him salam. Saying, "Salamu alaykum ya ibn Salih. Salam upon you, O righteous child. To which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responds. Thereafter the angel Jibreel, he holds the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he takes him up to the third heaven. They knock on the door, the gate of the third heaven. The angels, they ask, Man hadha, who is here? Who is this? Jibreel responds by saying, Jibreel. They ask, Man ma'ak, and who is with you? Jibreel responds by saying, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They ask, and has he been sent as a messenger yet? He said, yes. Marhaban bihi. Ni'mal maji'u jaha. Give him glad tidings. What an honorable guest has come. The gates of Jannah open. And there the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Yusuf alayhi salam. And he says, Yusuf alayhi salam, I saw him and he was so beautiful. Half of beauty had been given to him alayhi salam. Some of the scholars of Islam, they interpret this as if to say, imagine a block of beauty to be distributed amongst mankind, and everyone has its share of beauty that can be resembled and resonate on their face and on their character and their etiquettes and morals. Half of this block had been given to Yusuf alayhi salam. Half of this block had been given to Yusuf alayhi salam. Imagine how beautiful he was alayhi salam. And then they say, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been given a miracle better than the miracle of every other prophet and messenger. So if Yusuf was given half of beauty, then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given much more. The angel Jibreel then holds the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will continue the remaining part of the khutbah in the second part of the khutbah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إن الله غفور رحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. The angel Jibreel, he holds the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he raises him up to the fourth heaven. They knock on the door, and the malaika responds and have the same dialogue they did in all of the other previous knockings. As they enter into Jannah, the fourth level of heaven, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sees Idris, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah jalla wa'ala took his soul in the fourth level of Jannah, or the fourth heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا, and we raised him a great rising. He gives him salam, they exchange salam, the angel Jibreel holds his hand and takes him up to the fifth heaven. The same conversation and dialogue between the angels happened, the doors of the Jannah open, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees Harun, the brother of Musa alayhi salam. Harun was someone that was loved, was adored by his people, and he became the Khalifa of Musa alayhi salam after he had passed away alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like all of the others. They exchange salam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hand is taken, and he's taken up further to the sixth level of heaven. There he sees the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. After the same conversation, the same dialogue between the angels and the doors of Jannah opening, he gives him salam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he responds. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then taken by the hand of the angel Jibreel, and he's making his way up to the seventh heaven, Musa begins to weep. Musa, he begins to cry. Musa's asked, why are you crying? And he responds, this is a prophet that came after me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet his ummah will be so numerous in paradise that they'll outnumber my ummah and all of the other ummah. This is a prophet that came after me. Yet his ummah will be so numerous in paradise that they will outnumber mine and they will outnumber all of the other prophets. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken by his hand, the hand of Jibreel, and he's taken up one level higher, one level further, until he meets the Khalilullah, the friend of Allah, in the seventh heaven. The same dialogue and conversation between the angels happen, and the doors of Jannah open. And there he sees Ibrahim alayhi salam. In some narrations, Ibrahim alayhi salam is resting his back on Bayt al-Ma'mur, on the Kaaba of the heavens. The Kaaba that is directly above the Kaaba of earth. The Kaaba for which 70,000 angels come to worship Allah every single day. And yet these 70,000 angels never come back again. So every day there's a new group of 70,000 angels. He sees Ibrahim alayhi salam. He sees his great, great, great grandfather. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the lineage of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, he speaks to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gives him his salam. And then he says to him, a message for all of us. Ibrahim alayhi salam in a hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi, that is declared authentic by Ahmed Shakir rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, O Muhammad, Ya Muhammad, send to your ummah, send to your entire ummah, salam from me. And tell them that paradise has beautiful, fertile soil. It has pure water. It has deep valleys. And its trees are obtained. If you say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. This message, O brothers, O sisters in Islam, is from our father, our father's father, the prophets, the leaders of prophets after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the friend of Allah, who is in paradise, who is seeing paradise, and he wants us to know, as the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that paradise is not made up. These are not illusions, these are not imaginary tales, it's a reality. So he tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell your ummah that I am giving them salam. The scholars of Islam, they say, what an honor it is for a prophet to pass his salam to the other groups of people. This shows us, O brothers, O sisters in Islam, that there is something unique, something special about this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That prophets and messengers, that the leaders of prophets and messengers after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wants to send his salam to. And then he wants to give us the extra level of hope and conviction. And then he tells us through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them that paradise, it has fertile soil. It has pure water. It has deep and lush valleys. And its plants and its trees are obtained by saying, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. This is the first part of the story of the Isra and the Mi'raj. For thereafter, thereafter the angel Jibreel, he takes Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further until he sees the Sidratul Muntaha. He sees and hears the noise of the pens writing down on the scrolls, the noise of Qadr being written down on scrolls. And then he has a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, with the only thing between them being a barrier of light. O brothers or sisters in Islam, Allah Jalla wa Ala preserves this story in Quran and preserves this story from the very beginning until the end and all of its intricate details in the authentic Sunnah. Because this is the story that gives us as Muslims hope. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was suffering. He was being oppressed. He was going through the year of sorrow. He was driven out a land being pelted with stones. This story, this occasion, this miraculous journey gave him hope, made him understand that Allah Jalla wa Ala is not just Allah Jalla wa Ala that is with him or that is with this ummah, but prophets and messengers of Allah from the very beginning until the end are with us as well. O brothers or sisters in Islam, the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has only been preserved to give us that push to worship Allah Jalla wa Ala and take lessons and morals from his story and implement it in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those that are attached to the Quran and to the Sunnah. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us attached to the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to liberate Al-Aqsa, to make us of those who can pray a salah in it with freedom and with liberation. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to see and be part of this victory. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant Islam victory wherever it is and to preserve and defend Islam and the Muslims wherever it is. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين قوموا للصلاة.